Good morning. This is Elaine V, and I will be your moderator for today. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and today's date is Thursday, June 4th. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're studying Fred's story on page 43. We're reading the first paragraph. Today's readers are Debbie P. for the 12 Steps, Wendy M. for the 12 Traditions, Kara L. will read and comment on our share. Shelley E. will read page 164. And Vanessa G., thank you for being back up for us. Then we'll have our newcomer greeter, Chanel T. and Leslie M. will close us out with some announcements. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 23512. That's 23512. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 23518. That's 23518. COA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Debbie P. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. My name is Debbie P. in South Florida. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much, Debbie P. I'll now ask Wendy M. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thanks, Elaine. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Wendy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 43, the first paragraph of Fred's story. And I will now ask Kara L. to please begin reading.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Fred's story speaks for itself. We hope it strikes home to thousands like him. He had felt only the first myth of the ringer. Most alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled before they really commence to solve their problems. Good morning. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And as we're moving through more about alcoholism and the stories and the identities, and I really love this, you know, like he had only felt the first nip of the ringer. And I start thinking about my own life. I said, I had, you know, like, because I had had some success in losing weight, I really, really believed before I got into program that it was all me that controlled my weight. That if I was over or underweight, it was my fault, that I wasn't doing enough. And before I walked to the rooms, this is what my day looked like. I woke up in the morning with a firm resolution not to compulsively eat. I would compulsively eat throughout the day. I have my diet breakfast to start, and I would compulsively eat throughout the day. And then I'd end the day feeling demoralized, and then I would make a firm resolution for the next day. And it happened over and over again. And it wasn't until I walked through the room, the doors, and I sat down and I listened and I heard, I can't do this on my own, right? I had to be in a pace that was not, I mean, it was pretty far down the ringer, right? You know, my husband, I had kicked him out. I was a screaming shrew of a mother. It was just, life was unmanageable. And then I came into these rooms, and the only thing I've done perfectly is I haven't left. In 22 years, I have not left the rooms. And today, I'm so grateful because today I get to have food neutrality. I get to have a connection with a power greater than myself that is so full and so in my heart. It is my everything in my day, my connection with a power greater than myself. I get to be of service. I get to have a place that I feel like I'm at home. So I really get Fred, and I'm so grateful that, you know, I did come through the doors, and I have stayed. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kara L., for getting us started. Appreciate that. You came on the line a little later. We're on page 43, the first paragraph, and we're commenting on Fred's story. So Who would like to comment on this reading? Star one to unmute and let us know you're here. We'll take a lineup.
Julie B., Ohio.
Julie B. in Ohio.
Joy M. B., California.
Joy M. B., California. Anybody else?
Hi, Rachel H. Rachel H. from New Jersey.
Okay. I've got Rachel H. from New Jersey. And then who came in with Rachel?
Sherry H.
from Alabama.
I heard Sherry H. M. and then someone from Alabama.
At R.
Doreen N.
At R. from Alabama. And somebody N.
Doreen N. Texas.
Doreen N. in Texas. Wow. Great lineup. I've got Julie B., Joy M., Rachel H., Sherry H. M., Pat K., and Doreen N. If I got any of that wrong, please let me know. And we have a few more shares after that. So if you are not Julie B., please press star one to mute your phone. And Julie, please share with us.
Thank you. I'll set my timer as well. I'm Julie B. I'm from Akron, Ohio. I'm so grateful to be able to get on the meeting today. And for a little pause in the lineup, that was inviting, definitely. I think what I want to comment on the most out of this paragraph is that most alcoholics, so most compulsive overeaters, most people who suffer with addiction of food and food substances have to be pretty badly mangled before they really commence to solve their problems. And I think my addiction started, I think mostly when I was like under the age of 10. I remember specifically going to the kitchen after dinner was served and being really picky in front of the family, not aware of that really. I didn't really like a lot of what what the family dinner was, and then really honing in on certain ingredients after dinner and like doing weird things to them, it doesn't matter. But so it started then, but then it got worse. Oh my gosh. So I didn't get into recovery, into an abstinent state of mind until after my 30s. And so just from that time on into all of my teens and just the extremes that I would do, and always trying to lose the weight because I would be like binging and overeating. I was very active in school, in high school, and that helped to sort of keep things at bay. And I was busy, so I didn't really get as hungry, and it was kind of not really noticed. And a lot of issues were going on within my sister and my parents. And so I wasn't really worried about, like, they didn't really worry about me. My weight was less than most in my families. And so I wasn't a problem, but I had, looking back, it's like, I had an eating disorder. Like, I would not feed myself and then I would overfeed myself. And I get to meet people now during the day. I have what I call a B job, which is helping me support my dream job. And I get to meet people who struggle with what we have, and they don't know about the program. They don't know about OA, and I do my best to kind of very kindly be like, have you heard of Overeaters Anonymous? You know, I'm starting to become a lot more brave and carry little cards around and stuff. And because like I feel, I don't know what lottery I hit, but in order for me to have come into the rooms, stay in the rooms, do the work that's required, I just can't believe I get to be recovered today and to have all that craziness not be a part of my life anymore. So just wanted to add to that. I love you, Vision. I hope you guys have a great day. I'm Julie B. I'm from Ohio. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Julie B. We've got Joy M. coming up next, followed by Rachel H. Please share with us, Joy.
I'm Joy MB from California. I want to say how much I appreciate the team Thursday that's running this meeting, and thank you so much for moderating. I am a compulsive overeater, a real dyed-in-the-wool food addict, and I'm in recovery thanks to Visions. Was referring to the first line of this reading that we're doing this morning in the Blue Book. You know, I have to tell you, I have never in my life not been fighting this disease. I can remember back to being 3, 4, 5 and having my parents pound on the table, stop eating. Oh, and how I hated their marriage, how I hated the household I was in, because they were always so angry at each other. And the more they angered, the more I ate. And so from being a toddler, I remember being told I was too fat, too heavy to pick up, because they'd pick my little brother up, but they wouldn't pick me up. And I remember seeking things outside myself, seeking other answers, like if I just go to this religious camp, that and me, I'll be able to reduce the weight. If I just go to the Course in Miracles, if I just attend, I mean, every year I'm going to do a new spiritual thing. And I thought, combine that with me, and I'll be able to topple this whole weight issue. That's it. That's it. Is there something new? Let me go get it. Whatever's outside me plus me can do it. And I sought and I sought and I sought. And then I even earlier in my life, in the late, say, 1970s, 80s, sought Overeaters Anonymous. But as I've said before here on this line, every basement in San Francisco, every garage, but then everybody would say, would you like a copy of that book? Oh, there is a Blue Book back there. But no one was studying the steps. It was only when I found Vision. And I cannot say how grateful I am. If you're new, hang in there. I hung in there till I was a little old lady. And it works. It works if you will work it. It works. But the thing I am somewhat disappointed about is waiting so late. But it doesn't matter. I have it now. And it's the greatest gift I've ever had, because I am happy, joyous, and free. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joy MB. Rachel H., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Sherry H.M. Please share with us, Rachel.
Thank you. Can I be heard?
You sound great.
Okay, thank you. Hi, everyone. This is Rachel H. from New Jersey, a grateful addict for today, for this moment. Thank you, everyone on the line, for being of service. This program saved my life and continues to give me life. This meeting in particular, Vision for You, has completely been a lifesaver for me and a life giver. You know, I love how every time I read anything in the Big Book, it can have new meaning to me. And when, you know, I find it very helpful seeing these different examples of Fred, Jim, and the jaywalker, because, you know, it's so easy to, you know, let's say read Bill's story and be like, oh, well, like, I'm not like him, you know, or my life didn't look that way on paper. But what the Big Book really teaches and illustrates well, in my opinion, is that this disease is not just alcohol. This disease is alcoholism, right? Because if a drinker only had a problem with alcohol, then being sober would be enough to be well. But it's not, because it's not just about the alcohol, it's the ism also. So for me as a food addict, it's not just about the food, because if it was just about the food, then being abstinent would mean I should just be a happy person and all would be well. But, you know, the ism is still there. And the ism for me is the powerlessness over my thought process, my powerlessness over my character defects, my powerlessness over my internal landscape, right? The way I feel things and might react to things, all those are for me under the purview of my step one. And so when it talks about getting badly mangled in the big book, what just came to me a few minutes ago was up until now, I've only thought about it as getting mangled by this disease physically, or even emotionally or spiritually, but even just badly mangled by the ism, badly mangled by my character defects. My character defects have created a lot of pain and loss and drama in my life. And I could be squeaky clean abstinent, right? But my character defects are what, you know, can make or break, you know, navigating difficult relationship situations or pain or conversations, whatever it might be. And so for today, I'm just really grateful that all the years of suffering and isolation, like, just doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. And we have this amazing program, and it's free, which is like, wow, this idea of like, yes, I need this for my life. I need this for the rest of my life. And I don't need to pay membership. I mean, or I think the payment is by paying it forward. My service is a thank you note to God. So with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rachel H. Sherry H.M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Pat K. Where are you calling from, Sherry?
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M., gratefully recovered from Washington State. And gosh, this reminds me of myself because I was pretty badly mangled before I chose to go on program. About 20 years ago, my Al-Anon sisters, friends, they told me all about the OA program. And I just was too scared to walk through the doors because I thought, oh no, you know, they're going to want to take away some of these foods that I thought I was in love with. Didn't realize that those same foods actually stabbed me in the back a lot. So about six years later, so in 2014, I went and I met with one of these Al-Anon sisters, and she shared with me her experience, strength, and hope, and that turned out to be my last peppermint mocha, my thing that I was, you know, my all-time favorite drug of choice. And on the way home, I just, you know, threw up my hands, so to speak, and said, God, I cannot do this. I can't. You are going to have to do it for me because I just can't do it. And at the time, I had lots and lots of medical bills, and they were piling up, and it was like $13,000 to $16,000 a year out of pocket between my husband and I. And so I just thought, I am so sick of this. I'm sick of paying these expenses, and I'm gonna really try this. So I went, you know, to the regular OA. And at the time, they didn't have this meeting on the West Coast. So in other words, our only option was to get up at 4 a.m, which I did not do. But I really binge listened to the meetings like crazy, and finally got a sponsor from this program years later. And I'm telling you, it's wow. I can't even believe it's like I have to pinch myself. I do not crave those sugary substances. I repel, you know, just like touching a hot stove, like they say in other parts of our book. And sorry, I'm very tired. I have some health issues, and it seems like I can't talk straight today. But anyway, yeah, this has really saved my life. It's an absolute miracle. If you're hanging out and thinking, oh, I cannot do this, you're right. Take it to your higher power, who I choose to call God, and, you know, take it to your higher power, and you will be amazed if you follow the instructions, and you will have a whole new way of living. And, you know, with God's help, it's like it's not even a thing anymore. If I keep spiritually fit and if I keep practicing the principles in all my affairs, which means working the steps, So thank you, thank you, and thanks for your service, everybody who serves, and I pass.
Thank you, Sherry H.M. Pat K., you're up next, followed by Doreen M. Please share with us, Pat.
Thank you, and it's Pat R. from Alabama, not Pat K.
Oh, my goodness.
But that's okay.
I'm so sorry.
No, ma'am, please, not a problem. You know, the thing that got me was the first nip of the ringer. Because for me, you would think that that first nip of that ringer would be the thing that would really bring me down and make me stop and see what was going on with my issues. When I was younger, it wasn't that I was overweight, because it was, we fixed what Mama made. And, you know, she had, there were six of us, and so she made things that stretched, you know, for all six of us. And if you didn't get it first go round, you didn't get it, because there was never any leftovers. So it really wasn't that much of a problem when I was a kid. I always had a little bit of a poochy belly, but, you know, I was not overweight at all. When it really became a problem with me was when I got married, and then the food is there, and I was able to take care of the food and the issues and things myself. And I started liking a lot of the little sweet things that would come in. And I found that, and these were my children's school things to go into their lunch, and I would take those. And then it got to the point to where I had to start buying two boxes, and I'd put one box away for me. And it was kind of like that moment when I realized my clothes are getting smaller. Of course, you know, that was from the dryer. The dryer was shrinking my clothes, and the reality hit, and it's like, no, 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 it's not the dryer, it's you, and it's what you're putting in your mouth. So when I, you know, that's when I really realized it. Well, when I looked at myself in the mirror, I saw how really badly mangled I was, because I had gained a lot of weight. And I couldn't see it, and it was because I chose to turn a blind eye to it. I didn't want to admit that I had actually done that to myself. So when that realization hit me, I knew that I had to do something. I came into another food program, oh my goodness, like almost 16 years ago now. And, you know, and I got abstinent. I, you know, lost my weight. And I thought, oh, this is it. I'll never be fat again. Famous last words. Because then I got into sugar-free. And it just all came pounding back. And, you know, it is amazing to me the things that I told myself that were acceptable. You know, oh, you can do this. This is okay. But, I heard other people saying that. I can't do what a lot of other people can do. I have to keep my eyes on my own plate. I have to, you know, work my program, not somebody else's. And I have to keep a lot of those, thank you, I have to keep those voices out of my head as well. So, you know, being in that ringer and getting mangled, been there, done that, don't want to do it again. So I'm going to do my best to stay focused and do one step at a time. Thank you for letting me share. Pat R. from Alabama.
Thank you. Okay, Doreen N. from Texas, you are up next. Please share with us.
Doreen from Texas, recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater. Yes, thank you everyone for sharing and everybody's service for sharing, and to the moderator. So I wouldn't describe myself as being mangled. I would describe myself as being beat down, hit, cut into pieces. I know that sounds extravagant, but it's true. And like when a murderer takes and does like an axe murderer, well, the disease is the axe murderer. And I'm so glad that I'm here. I've been around, in and out. Oh, I lost the weight. Yeah, I don't have to be here. Do less and less work. Oh, yeah. And what did I do? Up and down and up and down. Yo-yo. I mean, literally, there was no string left to the yo-yo, because that's how much I went up and down. Finally, I found vision, I found Scottsdale, I found Cherry Hill, and I found a Saturday meeting. Oh, Cornwall. Started going religiously to big book meetings. Boy, my life has been transformed. I am working towards a normal body weight. I've been around 6 months, and in 6 months, I've been able to reach these new heights, these new levels of sanity and peace and serenity, you know, neutrality around the food. It's been a miracle beyond miracles, because there's no way to truly describe how my life has transformed, how I've had the psychic change, how I've changed. I react to things, I'm like, oh my God, was that me? No, that was God putting the words in my mouth. And I paused, like, I used to like steamroll. Hey, do you want my opinion? Sure. Even without, you know, I would give people unsolicited opinion. But the bottom line is this. It's a disease. It's progressive. It's fatal. It's out to kill me. It's sneaky. It's always looking out, hoping that I pick up. And it'll lie and it'll say, oh, this time will be different. Oh, this time it's okay. You had a hard day. It's a holiday. Go on, celebrate. Me, Thanksgiving would last like, not just Thanksgiving, it would last me like a whole week. And I, to this day, I don't understand. I do sampling and selling for a living at a grocery store. And they got me doing donuts this weekend. National Donut Day is Friday. And I'm like, are you completely serious? But I can do it. Why? Because I have neutrality. And because I have, since I love food, I have passion about baked food especially. I sell like crazy because I know the pleasure that it gives me. And I do have that twist of the mind, that high, that ecstasy that I feel eating.
That's a reminder.
It's a, and I'll wrap up. And it's a drug. It's my drug of choice. It's like heroin. It's like doing lines of coke past, and I have a miracle. And thank you all so much for being here, past. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Doreen N. So we're commenting on page 43, the first paragraph, through one paragraph. It starts with Fred's story speaks for itself and ends with really commence to solve their problems. So we have time for maybe four or five more shares. Who would like to comment on this reading? We'll take a lineup.
Roz G.
Roz G.
South Florida.
Somebody from Florida?
Debbie P.
Jackie.
Debbie P.
Jackie D. from Georgia.
Jackie
D. From D as in delightful.
Okay. Yes, that is delightful.
Regina V.
Regina
from California.
Regina V. from California. And one more. I have Roz G., Debbie P., Jackie D., Regina V., and time for one more, I believe. Okay, well, let's go with you guys and see if there is actually room for one more. Okay, Roz G., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Debbie P.
All right. Thank you, Elaine. Good morning. My name's Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater. And thank you, God, I am recovered by God's grace. And I live in Palmdale, California. And I want to say this from two views, the view of looking at someone else and then the view of myself. And I'll start with the view of someone else. I have noticed over the years that the people that I sponsor who have been pretty badly mangled are the ones that stay around and work. Because like, you know, say you give a talk, anybody gives a really good talk or it's very inspiring and they ask you to sponsor them. And I feel like they're on a talk high because I've had so many people and I have, you know, been so inspired by people that I'm on their high. It's not a high, but I'll just use it like that. Oh, can you sponsor me? And can I, you know, and they don't show up because for me, it's not that place of desperation and out of ideas and badly mangled. And then for myself, I'm the same way. You know, I'll get inspired by something, and then I'll say, oh man, I want that person to sponsor me. But am I really in a place of desperation at that time? No. Maybe I am, but I have learned that the big book is true. It has never lied to me. It has always told me the truth. And so my body was not badly mangled, but I would say the inside of my body was, because, well, I was overweight. Yes, I had no respect for my body. And I had acid reflux all of the time. It woke me up in the middle of the night, sometimes to the point where I couldn't breathe. And I'd wake up with these horrible food hangovers, and they would last for days, and headaches as well. So for me, that was the badly mangled part. And so today, I treat my body with respect. I heard somebody say that in a meeting the other day, and it was so profound to me. And maybe I've heard it before, but you know that saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. I treat my body with respect. I respect it. I love it. And I eat very well, and I don't have those problems anymore. Once in a while, I may get a little heartburn, but very seldom. And it's nice to wake up in the morning fresh, you know, with a fresh outlook and no headaches and no heartburn and no stomach issues. So I'm so grateful for those things, that they did happen to me, so that I can share about them and that they pushed me into recovery. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Debbie P., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Jackie D. Please share with us. Debbie?
Hi, Debbie here in South Florida. You know, and what I really related to was this badly mangled, because that was me. And I can't say that you would look at me and by, you know, the weight and know that, but my thinking, my mental state, my availability, it was mangled. And, you know, then in those previous paragraphs, right? And I just want to say, you know, like, what did I do? And they say, it wasn't easy, but I made that commitment to do the steps. And first, you know, the food was down. I was abstinent. And then through working the steps, I got some emotional sobriety, you know, just looking at myself. And then also, you know, it talks about, I would find spiritual principles would solve my problems, and I just find that to be so true. From working those steps, it's like I cleared a channel, a pathway to connect with, for me to connect with God, and just to continue to work this program. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie P. Jackie T., you are up next, followed by Regina V.
Good morning, family. My name is Jackie D. I am from Georgia. Thank you all so much for being here for me this morning. Thank you for everybody giving service today. Thank you so much for the shares that I've heard so far. They have been enlightening. I'll touch upon what everybody else has been touching upon, and that's the badly mangled. Before program, when I came into program, actually, I was mangled, body, mind, and spirit. I didn't know my left or my right, because I was so consumed by food. I was so consumed by working out to the extent where, you know, body parts were hurting that shouldn't be hurting. I tried to combat all the food that I was eating and all the bad food that I was eating by working out excessively. And because of that, I was mangled. I had a belief in my higher power, whom I choose to call God. I had a belief in God, but I didn't utilize God the way that he should have been utilized, and that is as a friend, as a companion, as my greatest power. You know, I was using myself as my higher power, and that obviously did not work. My mind was mangled because I thought that I had to eat everything and anything, even though I knew I shouldn't. I just thought that I needed to, because it was there. It was put in front of me. And then I come into the program, and I work the steps. I work with the sponsor, I listen to meetings, I attend meetings, I hear what people are saying, and I realize that I don't have to be mangled anymore, that I can just work the steps, I can find a nutritionist, I can identify my alcoholic foods and my alcoholic behaviors, and I can find a higher power who's of my own understanding, that I can believe in my higher power. I can trust in my higher power. My higher power actually is my friend. And I can do all of that, and no longer will I have to be mangled in mind, body, and spirit, that I can be free of all the things. I can be free of my compulsions. And I'm so grateful that I have this program. I'm so grateful that I have this step set. And I'm so grateful that I have sponsors, past sponsors, and continue to have sponsors that work with me to make me a better person, to make me a more, to practice the principles in all my affairs, basically. I don't do it perfectly. I don't do it every day, but I sure as heck do it a lot more than I did before I came into program. That I am a better person because of this program, and I'm so grateful for the steps. I'm so grateful for my higher power. I'm so grateful for all of you all being here, and I'm grateful to be able to share my experience, strength, and hope with all of you. Hope you all have a beautiful day. Once again, thank you all so much for being here for me this morning, and I love this program and can't do without it, and I love my higher power. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Regina. Okay, we have time for two more shares. Oh, I'm sorry, that was Jackie. Now, Regina, please share with us.
Hi.
I'm sorry about that.
Yes. Hi. Hi, everybody. My name is Regina, and I am from California and a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. And I was pretty mangled in the sense that I got to a point of desperation because I had diabetes, and I knew that I needed to lose the weight, right? But I realized I could not do it. I realized that no matter how hard I tried to lose the weight, I could not do it. And my life was on the line. My life was on the line. I didn't want to go blind or have a stroke or have amputated fingers or toes. And I didn't want that. But I was like, how do I lose the weight? Even knowing that I could go blind or, you know, have these things happen to me, I still can't lose the weight. Like with my own willpower, even knowing that I could die, I could not do it on my own. I couldn't get on a, you know, diet and do it. And so at that time, I had an Al-Anon sponsor who was in another 12-step program, and she told me about, you know, the food program. And I joined, and because I was desperate. Because when she first told me about it, I was like, I was so offended. I was like, what do you see? What does she think I am, 300 pounds? I don't need a food program. I was almost 200 pounds, and I'm only 5 feet. So I was morbidly obese. But that was my attitude. It wasn't until, you know, I got so desperate that I said, where is the meeting? I will be at the, you know, at the meeting. And I joined, and I did lose a tremendous amount of weight. But I never enlarged my spiritual life. So here I am, you know, with a beautiful body and everything, but I was miserable because I did not even have a relationship with the higher power. And fast forward 5 years later, I came into OA last August and gained, you know, 40 pounds. And I've struggled. I have struggled with OA. But I'm grateful that I found Visions. I'm grateful that I found Scottsdale and Cornwall, and now I heard Cherry Hill, so I'll be looking into that, because I love the recovery. I love the message that I hear is higher power, higher power, higher power, and I've been sharing it with another friend in OA that doesn't know about Big Book and, you know, these meetings. I've been telling her about. And I'm grateful that I can share the message because this is where the recovery is at. And I'm just so grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Regina V. We have time for one more share. Who has a burning desire? We'd love to hear from you.
Melanie C. from Idaho.
Oh, Melanie, please share with us.
Wow, this is wonderful. The, you know, just the few extra seconds to be able to pop in here. Hi, everyone. My name is Melanie Salmon, recovered compulsive overeater from Idaho. And I just wanted to give a little bit of a snapshot of where I was the Saturday before I went back to Overeaters Anonymous. And that was my house was in just a complete shambles. My husband was traveling back and forth to different states for his work. We had been empty nested, but had been raising my brother's children for several years, and I was miserable at that. I wasn't getting dressed very much anymore. My sweats that I wore during the daytime or my sweats that I wore at night, and very rarely bathing. And I was absolutely a wreck and raging throughout the house, whether it be with my husband or these children. And I had been to OA 17 years prior and knew that that was out there for me. I didn't want to go back. I was just heartsick to think that I was an addict like every other family member that I had, because I was an exception to that. All these crazy things that my brain would tell me that I was fine. I was agoraphobic. I wasn't leaving my house anymore. Curtains drawn. I would not answer the door. I'd send the boys on the bus to the school at 7:30 in the morning. They wouldn't come back until 4:30. And sometimes I didn't, pardon me, answer the phone when the school called needing some help from me. These are special needs kids, and I had them in special needs classes and things like that. And it was horrible. And I just sat down to this Jethro-sized bowl of cereal, eating that, and I had this sound and this voice in the side of my face that said that you can replace the power of this huge bowl with me. And it really felt real. It was a warmth on the right side of my face. I just shuddered, and I didn't want to turn left nor right, because I didn't want to spoil that moment. And in my soul, I knew that I would be going back to Overeaters Anonymous. I promised myself that I would, if I did go back, angry as heck to have to do so, that I would give it all. Because before, I was taking what I wanted and left the rest, which was I left all of it. And so with this, I went to this particular meeting, and we tried so hard. There was no abstinence happening for any of us. It was a little coastal town, and we had no idea about what recovery looked like, didn't even utilize the big book. However, there was a piece of paper that crossed my desk or across the table there that was to a certain place where they did study the big book, where they did have abstinence. And I traveled that 3.5 miles with somebody helping me get there by being on the phone, because I was so agoraphobic, not hardly leaving my home. And that was November 5th, 2005. And my life has never been the same. I met the folks that created, and I was a part of that folks, those folks that created this particular big book study, and they have held me in the middle of their herd, these women, for these 20 years, that I have the quality that I have so that God could do for me what I was never going to do for myself. And so in this community, with the triage that I call God, myself, and another human being, I have a way of life and a quality of life that changes and shifts to something being a better me than I could have ever been. One day at a time, and with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Melanie C. Thank you, everybody that has shared. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. Hi, everybody. I'm Shelley E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks for letting me do service. I'm going to pass.